Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Well, we're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and you're going to be glad you're with me because we got Mike Menzies back on the show. Mike is the resident banker of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, but he doesn't make a lot of money off of us, mostly as he makes his living as the president of Easton Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland, over on the near the water and the Eastern Shore. And he's also currently the chairman of the National Independent Community Bank Organization, the ICBA. He's the King Biscuit volunteer chairman of that fine organization, an organization that you hear me talking about all the time around here. And he's our good friend Mike Menzies. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Great to be with you. And
the King Biscuit. I bet they didn't, you know, has anybody called you that over there?
I don't know how you figured out my exact title. It's the King Biscuit of the Independent Community Bankers of America.
That's exactly right. Well, congratulations. The cream always rises to the top. I'm proud of you for the role that you're playing there. And, of course, in your day job, you're out there on Main Street helping small businesses. And I'll tell you, folks, next time you see an independent community banker, you should thank them, because I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it as long as I draw breath, Mike. If it weren't for an independent community bank who believed in me, sometimes when I was even having a hard time believing in myself, I would not be standing here talking to anybody on this show or you, Mike. I would not be doing it if it weren't for an independent community bank. They have been, they were and continue to be critical to whatever success I have.
Well, you know, Jim, you sort of learn in life what you're all about when you're under stress. And you learn that as an individual and as a corporation and as an industry, we've learned that. And, you know, the White House understands that. They have invited the Independent Community Bankers of America to come on several occasions to the White House to discuss.
Didn't he just speak to your group, or didn't you guys just meet with him?
Well, yesterday we had breakfast with Secretary Geithner. And he talked
about exciting things
for banking and talked about what he's doing to get his arms around this train wreck. But community banks shine today, and they shine because individuals and communities and Congress recognize the importance of the diversity of a community banking system, and they recognize what happens when you concentrate extraordinary levels of power and money in the hands of just a few, and they become reckless.
That's exactly right.
We have learned.
Well, I hope we've learned that, but what I'm worried about, though, Mike, is the medicine that we're having to take to heal this, to cure this sickness, may be as bad or worse than the disease. What do you think?
Well, you can certainly feel that way as a taxpayer. We've invested something north of $8 trillion in the largest of this industry to keep them afloat, and we've just taken 19 through this thing called a stress test for the purpose of determining how much additional capital they need. And the pain for community banks there is that my primary regulator doesn't walk into the bank and say, listen, I'm going to give you a test, and if you fail, don't worry, I'll just take taxpayer money and put
right.
my capital in your bank.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way.
And they come in, and if you fail, they say, give me the keys.
That's right. And it's as simple as that. And that's not bad, because community banks operate with the understanding that they have to make common sense, sound, logical loans to people and businesses they know. And when they make those loans, they own the loan. They haven't just flipped it for a fee and walked. They own the relationship. If there's a problem, they own the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes all the difference in the world, as opposed to just shipping it off to the workout department in Charlotte.
Right, exactly. Well, so when you talked to when Geithner talked to you guys this week, what was your perspective? What is your take on how he sounded and what he said?
Well, he's an unbelievably bright fellow, and I think he's doing everything he possibly can to not just liquefy the economy but stabilize business. And the two exciting announcements yesterday were, one, he does plan to deal with systemic risk. Systemic risk describes the fact that some of these gigantic companies are
too big to fail.
Systemic risk says that there must be a way of dealing with that. We can no longer accept.
As I heard someone say this week, quoting that person, I'm sorry I can't say the name, if they're too big to fail, they're too big to exist. We're going to take a quick break, right back with our good buddy Mike Menzies after these messages. He's one of my favorite people, an independent community banker. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something for you. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog. Subscribe to it as well. My knowledge base is there. You can ask questions. You can read articles, thousands of those. You can listen to past interviews on whatever topics on your mind. Listen to me and a Brain Trust member discussing that particular topic. Lots of, you know, thousands, literally thousands of those right there that you can peruse through and see what's on your mind and find something that will fit. It's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's president of Eastern Bank and Trust, and we're talking about your trip there this week to D.C., Mike. You're just leaving, as I'm going to be arriving tomorrow for Small Business Week, but you had your visit with Secretary Geithner. You know, Mike, you're starting to scare me just a little bit. You sound like you're kind of drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit.
What Kool-Aid?
Well, you know, you're sounding a little, you know, I'm looking at all this intervention with a jaundiced eye. I hope you haven't lost your jaundiced eye.
Not at all. And there's just no question that some level of intervention was needed because
right. It
was. At least it was represented that we would go through a meltdown if intervention wasn't there. And as you know, Father Bernanke was a student of the Depression.
Right.
And so there are probably a few people who better understand what's needed.
Chairman Bernanke of the Fed,
Chairman
of course.
Chairman Bernanke of the Fed. But obviously, you've got to be concerned about the quantity of intervention and the continuation.
And the attitude, Mike, to me... For the administration to try to remake capitalism in its own image, that frightens me. And Mike, one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I wanted to ask you about this, is they're starting to mess around with the sanctity of contracts, and with the workout that they're proposing for Chrysler and GM, with the workout that they're trying to propose for foreclosures of houses and trying to cram down solutions with bankruptcy judges, I'm concerned that they're playing fast and loose with the sanctity of the contract. Am I overreacting, or is there validity to my concern?
No, I think that concern is totally valid. Fortunately, cram down failed, and
but they tried.
Yeah, they tried, and that is an issue with this particular Congress. But I think that what happens is that some of these extraordinarily liberal concepts get into the discussion phase, and fortunately they fail. They don't
cooler heads prevail
legislation, and hopefully they won't. We do have to maintain some level of risk associated with opportunity, and if we transfer the risk to the federal government for all loss. Then you're right. We'll bring the system down. But I'm hopeful, and I believe that won't happen. I believe that the efforts have been to try to figure out ways to deal with these problems. But you're right. We don't want to alter or eliminate the nature of a contract or transfer that responsibility to justice. That would be a sin.
Mike, I'm calling it the sanctity of the contract. And the reason I'm calling it that, I'm not talking about contracts. I'm not talking about something on paper. I think the issue is the sanctity of the contract. And by that I mean not just a contract, but putting up on a pedestal the concept, the vision, the emotion, if you want to, of the strength of contract. Mike, that's the foundation. That is the keystone of what our world in America is built on, is the contract.
Well, you're right, and it's built on the contract. In our business of banking, not to take an opposing view, but in our business of banking, more important than the contract is the relationship. The contract describes the relationship, but the most important thing are two people sitting down and agreeing where they want to go and how they're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, over the past 20 or 30 years, the banking contract, both the deposit contract and the loan contract, have become 100-page documents because of the requirement for disclosure.
Right.
And produce the unintended consequence of a lack of disclosure because they're too complex and people can't read
them. Right, exactly.
So what really matters more than anything is less all of the terminology and verbiage embedded in these awful documents and more the one-to-one relationship. And we've learned as a
which is what I mean when I say sanctity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, we've taken this business of contracts, securitized them, bundled them up, sold them to investors who thought A1, P1 ratings meant something. Mm-hmm. And then when the contract didn't perform as intended, we shipped them off to workout companies to go collect them. And that's not the way the system should work. We need to figure out how to maintain relationship and skin in the game in all of these contracts.
Well, and so that's the thing that worries me. But they're still working on this with the car companies, Mike. I mean, not that this is a big deal for independent community bankers, although it probably really is because you guys have got a lot of skin in the game with these dealers out there. But they're talking about restructuring Chrysler in a way where, now think about this, Mike. Now you have been involved as a banker with people, your customers going bankrupt before. You know, you were a prime creditor. You were prime over other people. So what if the government came in and said, you know, we're going to nullify that? And that's what they're doing with some of these creditors to these car companies. And it's something that we're going to have to watch, folks, because this could change the future of contracts. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Mike Menzies is our guest. Stay with us. A little bit of Stones bringing us back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate, Mike Menzies, is our guest. President of Easton Bank and Trust. That's EastonBankandTrust.com. Right, Mike? Website?
Absolutely.
I hope you check it out, folks. This is not your grandfather's bank's website. It's a rock and rolling website, and I'm very proud of that. That particular website I'm very proud of. So, folks, I hope you check it out and see what they got going on over there. Mike, it seems to me that Washington is completely enamored with Wall Street and with Detroit. And they're taking these projects on with a great deal of zeal, and a great deal of our future money that we're going to be earning, and I don't see an awful lot of their attention being turned toward your bank and my small business. What do you think?
Well, actually, I think that, you know, only a few weeks ago, the president invited the Independent Community Bankers of America to the White House to announce a dramatic expansion of the small business program and the small business loan program, and increasing the guarantee to 90% from 75% and funding it aggressively. And we have been getting emails daily and calls regularly from the SBA encouraging us to not just train our lenders, but to get out there and lend. And that's one positive that we see happening.
I agree, but Mike, you and I both know that heretofore, SBA loans have been a tiny fraction of the total loans. I mean, most small business owners don't know anything about what to do, how to get an SBA guaranteed loan, and way too many bankers aren't involved with the SBA.
And that's true, and hopefully that will turn to some extent. But you know, Jim, the community banks never stopped lending.
Exactly.
Yes, lending standards tightened up. The lending that stopped was the securitized side of the world.
Right.
And it stopped because that's where the problem was. Brokers were originating loans and flipping them and taking a fee and walking. And it's that piece, that conduit type of lending, that was interrupted when Wall Street came apart. The community banks didn't come apart. They remained well capitalized. They're still profitable.
And nobody reported that on a weekly basis more than we did on this show. And folks, before Mike gets away, I want him to confirm what I'm about to say. Folks, if you've got a business that's operating, that you've maintained a decent credit, if you like building relationships with a banker, your independent community banker is ready to help you right now, and there's a good chance that if you can justify your request, they will loan you the money, which is not like the big banks. Now, Mike, is anything I said incorrect there?
No, sir. You are dead right.
Community
banks want to lend. We are lending. We are out knocking on doors and looking.
But you know, Mike, they're telling me, the independent banks I talk to besides you across the country are telling me that they don't have as many loan requests because small business owners are not borrowing money as much as they hope they would.
That's true. You know, the number of requests are down, and that's why we're knocking on doors.
Mm-hmm.
We want the business. We really do. But you know, it's the product of a recession, which we're in.
Right. As we wrap up, there are these other two shoes out there that we know about, the credit card potential meltdown, not unlike the subprime meltdown, the default on those as unemployment goes up and that sort of thing, and also where consumers had too much credit, and also a commercial real estate potential meltdown. Are these two shoes that are they going to drop, and if they are we going to be able to take them in stride?
I do believe we'll be able to take them in stride. The commercial challenges that are being discussed are somewhere in the $500 billion range, half a trillion dollars.
And is this because the economy slowed so much where people were over-leveraged, they just can't make the payments right now?
Some of it is because of that. Some of it is because of the lending practice where you'd make a loan on a commercial entity like a drugstore with the expectation that in 3 years it would be profitable, it would be able to cash flow the loan, mm-hmm. and it would flip into a conduit lender or into a security.
Right.
And they're not going to flip. So
yeah.
Because that market.
Because they're going to be maturing in a couple of years.
They're going to mature over the next year or so, and the lenders who had hoped they could get rid of them.
What about the credit card?
The market won't be able to. That's Wall Street again. That's not community banking.
What about the credit cards? Quickly.
Well, credit cards absolutely are going to have some correction because there was too much extension of credit, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what we read. I'm not an expert in credit cards. But I can tell you, as a community bank that originates credit cards, I'm not losing sleep over our credit card customers.
Yeah.
We don't have credit card customers.
We're going to have to watch for those other shoes. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, good to be with you, Jim.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.